The scripture reading this morning will be coming from Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. And then I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the word of God reads, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience."
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Appreciate the scripture that was read in our hearing. Hope, pray, and trust that as we are going through the passages of scripture on this morning, that we'll keep in mind what God will have us to do and what he will have us to be. And so this month, we're going to be talking about increasing our efforts in evangelism. And I chose Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, because it is such a very powerful parable from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And as he is explaining the parable of the sower, he talks about the different soils, if you will, which is the different mindsets that people have, where the word of God can come in and have a great effect upon it, but at times that does not happen. However, when we're thinking about reaching out, we have to ask ourselves, where does that begin? Where does it begin? Well, it begins with the seed. If you look at Luke 8 and verse number 11, where Jesus said, "The parable is this, the seed is the word of God," that's where it begins. But also, Jesus would say something that's very interesting as relates to Matthew 13, verse 19. Right now, just talking, getting some points across, that the word of God is the seed of the kingdom. Now, we know that the seed produces after its own kind. The seed is not going to produce anything that is not like what the seed is. The fruit. The fruit which comes forth from that seed is going to be a product of the seed itself. However, we understand according to the parable that the seed has its best results in what is known as an honest and good heart. That's Luke 8, verse 15. And I've studied this from time to time, and I thought about the different soils along the way. And you ask yourself, well, can the word of God penetrate those other types of seeds, those other types of soils? And it can, but some cultivation has to take place. There's some things that must be removed before those things can actually work out, if you will. But I want us to ask ourselves, where should we begin? When we think about evangelism, we understand that Jesus in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And so here we see his disciples were commanded to go out and preach the gospel and baptize individuals into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and also to teach them those things that were commanded them. However, that's not where we want to begin today. When we think about where do we want to begin, do we want to begin with going out into the world, even though we understand the command? Well, how about going out to the highways and to the hedges? Luke 14, 23. And we think about the highways and the hedges. We think about where people are just going in life and they're just on the go and on the run where things are real fast. Or how about the hedges where they're hiding? Should we be going there? Of course we should. But is that where we want to start this morning? We don't want to start there this morning. How about our enemies? Why don't we go and we talk to the enemies of God? Romans 5 and verse number 8. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, enemies, Christ died. Well, do we want to start there? I don't want us to start there this morning. I want us to start at home. And the reason why is because when we think about a good home base, you think about going out seeking and saving the lost. Friends, if we can just start at home, if we can truly be the people of God that we need to be at home, I know for a fact that we will buy into going out seeking and saving the lost as a group, as individuals, even talking to those who are in the highways or on the highways and the hedges, hiding and running fast in life, or even going to those who are the enemies of God. We'll go there, but we got to begin at home. And so it made me think about Hebrews 11. Turn there. In Hebrews 11, in verse number 7, and we'll take our time. We'll discuss a few points. I'll have you out by 1 o'clock. I'll have you out by 1. Verse 7. Come across a man by the name of Noah. And the Bible teaches us that by faith, Noah, by faith. We understand, Brother Royce, that faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by faith. We understand that when Noah operated, he operated according to the faith, according to that which was given to him, if you will. Faith. Notice the text. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark, notice this, friends, for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He started at home. The Bible would teach us in 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21, that 8 souls were saved by water. Here, this man, this godly man, and we can prove that he was a godly man according to 2 Peter 2, verse number 4 and 5. He was a preacher of righteousness. Started at home. 8 souls were saved by water. Notice, his wife, 3 sons, 3 daughter-in-laws. Started at home. And that caused me to think about some things. The influence that we can have with each other at home. When we consider increasing our efforts for evangelism, friends, it begins at home. And if you think about in the beginning when God said that he was going to destroy the earth with water, there was only going to be one option to get off of this earth alive, and that was the ark. The ark was going to be the only place where salvation was going to be had. Noah, what did he do? He built the ark, and his family followed him into the ark. They took care of their business for a sum of time, and then God had Noah and his family to leave the ark, and his family followed him into the ark and outside of the ark. I say that to say this. Friends, when we consider our families, we ought to be influencing one another to be what God will have us to be. It starts at home. Well, Brother Mike, I don't have family at home. My wife is not here. My husband is not here. Children are gone. Friends, I'm not just talking about your immediate family, but also your family that are extended. It starts at home. Not necessarily just talking about your dwelling place, but your family. Brother Mike, what about the challenges of beginning at home? Matthew 10:36, I thought about that. I thought about someone asking the question, well, what about those who don't like me at home or in my family? Jesus would say something in Matthew 10, verse number 36, that our enemies or your enemies will be those of your own house. At times, that's true. Sometimes it's difficult to talk to those who have seen you grown up or grow up. You'll hear things like, boy, I changed your diapers. I'm not listening to you. We've heard that before. I've seen you when you was on the other side of the cross. I see you now, but I truly don't believe that you totally changed. I mean, I've seen that, heard that. Yet we understand that sometimes in our own homes, people are too familiar with us. They understand our faults, and sometimes forgiveness is not really what we want to give. But if we're going to increase our evangelism efforts, why don't we begin with those, at least at home? When Jesus started, he started off in Nazareth, and even though they rejected him and he could not do many works there, at least he started at home, and then he branched out. I said this before, I'll say it again. When a preacher said one time from the pulpit, he said, it's interesting that men and women will go out and do great mission work, but won't say nothing at home. You remember, why go to El Salvador if you haven't went next door? But that happens all the time. When you got people, even in your own family, perhaps they live here, perhaps they live in another locale. Does that matter? Let's begin at home. And there are different things that bring us together. And Jesus would say in Matthew 13:57, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. One translation says among his own relatives. And so we must strive to help one another. We must strive to help one another to be righteous, to be upright, to be holy, to be moral, to be the people that others can be able to see Christ living in us, the hope of glory. I want you to just consider, just for a few seconds before we go on to the next point, what am I doing to help my family see Christ living in me? What am I doing? Am I standing up for the Christ, his morals, his values, his teachings, his law? Am I being compassionate, merciful, understanding? Am I abiding in truth? Am I truly considering the law of God? Do I understand what he desires out of me, commands out of me, wants from me? Am I showing my family that? I'm not just talking about fathers, teach your children this, Ephesians 6:1 and following. I'm not just talking about mothers and making sure that you are a great example in the home. Yay, children. You have a responsibility too. To take the teachings in which you have been taught by your parents, your Bible school teachers, what you hear from the pulpit, and do your level best to apply those things to your life. To be the best that you can be. To be a people of excellence, if you will. Now, we use the word professional, and that's fine. However, God uses the idea of excellence. He desires for us to be an excellent people. And everything that we do, Ecclesiastes 11, I can't remember the exact verse, whatever you find your hand to do, do it with all your might. So, friends, we should be attempting to be the best that we can be. That when we're asked to go 1 mile, we're going two. And when we go that second mile, we're doing it with the right attitude, with the right motives, thinking things through. Friends, the stronger the home is, the more likely we will tell others about the goodness and the severity of God. It's not just about the goodness of God. God is a balanced God. We just can't talk about the love of God. Brother Leon, we got to talk about the wrath of God. You just can't talk about the mercy of God. You got to talk about the grace of God. Can't just talk about the compassion of God, but you have to talk about the long suffering of God. You have to talk about all of it. And so our families must benefit from it. Yea, we understand that the man has the responsibility of being the point man, the leader, the forefront. We understand that. Yet, we understand that we all have a responsibility to teach one another. Point one. When we consider increasing our efforts in evangelism, it begins with being fully persuaded. I want to smile when I say that. Are you fully persuaded that there's a God in heaven? And that this God truly loves you. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 16:13-18. And I have to ask myself, Do I believe God? Now, I did not say, do I believe in God? But do I believe God? It was because of unbelief that the children of Israel did not enter into the promised land. Hebrews 3, 12 through 19. Do I believe God? In Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18, Jesus is said to be the Son of the living God, the Christ. He's on the isle or in the region of Caesarea Philippi, rather. And he asks his disciples a question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Stay with me. And here the disciples gave this great list of men. Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. Jesus, he asked his disciple, Peter, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, he said something by inspiration that was just very powerful. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. Now, I remember reading that as a youth. I remember reading that as I was studying to be a Christian. I remember reading that after I became a Christian in preaching school over the years. And today I believe that more so, Brother Royce, now than ever. I believe that. I believe that Christ, Messiah, is the Son of the living God. Hold on. We say this all the time when we're about to baptize someone into Christ. That confession brought death to our Savior, but it will bring everlasting life to you if you remain faithful unto death. Wow. Do you believe God? Here, Jesus would tell Peter, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Do we believe God? Brother Mike, why do you bring that point up as it relates to increasing our efforts in evangelism? Friends, if we're not believing God ourselves as parents, as husband and wives, as a family, how can we truly take the message to the world around us? I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I'm living it out in my life. How do I know that I truly believe? Because I do what he says. And so Jesus would say in John 14 and verse number 15, if you love me, if you truly adore me, if you truly value what I say, do what I say, keep my commandments. And so we see something very powerful. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that even in that same text, he tells Peter and the apostles. He said, and thou art Peter, and upon this confession, this statement, this rock, this foundation, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my people. And he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, the church. I believe that God created the church in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. Do you believe that? Are we teaching our children this? Are we reminding the family that God has one church? Do we truly believe that? Or do we believe that man has a right to build his own church and equate it to the church of Christ? I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that. I truly believe that what Jesus told Peter, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And upon that confession, I'm going to build my church, my called out people. Friends, we have to be fully persuaded about this, and that Jesus himself is the Savior of the body. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verses 1 through 8. We understand that we have to believe God. But we also have to understand that we need to believe the gospel. But why should I believe the gospel? This is a fundamental fact that all of us have to keep in mind, friends. When you ask certain people what the gospel is, many don't even know. You ask some Christians and they say certain things as well. We understand that the gospel, according to Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, is God's power to save. And Sister Evelyn, it's the righteousness of God inside of that gospel. How do I know? Because the inspired apostle Paul said that it is the righteousness of God revealed. And Paul would say in Galatians 1 and verse number 6 that there's only one gospel. That's interesting. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one gospel. There's not multiplicity of gospels. We're not talking about the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Friends, we're talking about the one gospel, the one story, if you will. And that's very important. And so when we consider evangelism, talking to those who are on the outside, friends, it begins with those on the inside. So in 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse number 1, understanding that the gospel is God's power to save, understanding that there is only one gospel and you can't mix it with other teachings. In verse number 1, Paul is talking to a group of people, Corinthians, that obeyed the gospel in Acts chapter 18. They're already Christians. Why is he reminding them of that which they already obeyed? Because like anything else, as people, we need to be reminded. And as Peter would say on one occasion, as long as I am this tabernacle, this tent, I don't mind stirring up your memory by way of remembrance, your mind by way of remembrance. Friends, we need to be reminded. I've been married almost 30 years. I got to be reminded of this stuff all the time. Tomorrow's our anniversary. Thank you for telling me. I needed to be reminded. Don't smile. It's okay. We need to be reminded. It's okay. Look at verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you, notice what he says, the gospel. If at any time you don't understand a teaching, then just begin reading the Bible, begin understanding the Bible, do your word study, your word search. I guarantee you, over a period of time, you'll begin to come to an understanding. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Which I preach to you, which also you receive, and in which you stand. We see some things already. We see that the gospel can be preached. We see that the gospel can be received. And we see that the gospel can be stand in. By which also you are saved, so the gospel can save us. If you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. But what's the gospel? Notice what he says. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains to the present. But some have died. Some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Friends, what do we gather out of this? We gather that the gospel is so powerful and is outlined, and we see what it is. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. And it would be Jesus that would tell his disciples, you go into all the world and you preach that message. Hold on. Go into all the world? Why don't I start at home first? Brethren, if our children don't know what the gospel is, either we're not telling them or they're not paying attention. So I was talking to some young men just the other day. And was giving them compliments as it relates to, these were some very godly young men. You know, the church is going to be in good hands, you know, because of young, godly men like yourself. I was talking to them. And they said, well, you know what? You know, to God be the glory. Yeah, that's true. I said, but it takes two things in order for learning to take place. Young people, y'all listen to this. Listen to this. It takes a godly teacher and a listening ear. Parents, don't get too discouraged if your children are not listening. Find a way to get them to listen. It may be something that you're doing that's blocking it. Been at parenting almost 30 years. Over that now. Wow. And sometimes parents, they get down on themselves because, well, their children just, they're not learning. Well, it could be that they're not listening. It could be that they're so distracted and they got all of these distractions in their life that the Word of God is, that's right. You got to put away some superfluity of naughtiness. You got to put away some sin. You got to get rid of the distractions that you can receive with meekness, the Word of God, which is able to save your soul. Question. What is on your child's mind that keeps them from listening to God? Could it be our actions? Could it be the inconsistencies in our lives? Been there and done that. Had to say I'm sorry for a few things over the years. I'm being very transparent because sometimes we need to say we're sorry. Yes, we're saying the message, but our actions are saying something different. Therefore, your actions are so loud I can't hear what you're saying. Yes. So for learning to take place, you got to have a righteous teacher, and you got to have a listening ear. Well, hold on. That goes back to the Luke 8, verses 11 through 15 idea. And it goes back to that honest and good heart. And so if I see some dishonesty and some things that are not good in the heart of my child, my loved one, my spouse, then I need to come up with some type of strategic plan to uproot that, to break up the fallow ground, to help them out, if you will. Brother Royce, I was very pleased to spend a little time at Arise this week, and I learned some things, reminded of some things, helped in some things. And this was probably some of the most balanced preaching I've heard in a long time. Y'all go online, Southwest Church of Christ, Arise, listen to all of those lessons. I promise you, you'll hear some very balanced preaching. I say that to say this. When you look at the different soils in Luke chapter 8, and you look at the wayside ground, the stony ground, and the different grounds there, we focus so much on the good ground that we don't even really think about those other grounds having the potential to be good. You got to be able to be like what Jeremiah said, what God said to Jeremiah, break up the fallow ground. Before you can build up, you got to tear down. Sometimes that's necessary. And it could be that people are not listening to me and my family because I'm the block. So I've heard this before. I don't know why my children, my spouse, they'll listen to everybody but me. I've heard that before. Well, at least they're listening. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we want them to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Brother Mike, they just don't listen. Question is, are we fully persuaded ourselves? Because when we are, then it comes out in our actions. So do I believe God? Do I believe the gospel? Do I believe that Christ loves me? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you will, for the love of Christ, verse 14, compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Hold on. Do I believe that? Friends, when I die to self, those in my house, they will see it. Whether they acknowledge it is another thing. I think sometimes we forget that the God of heaven, who is the Father of all, the Father of spirits, he has disobedient children too. So let's be careful of blaming parents all the time. Sometimes you need to blame the one that's doing the action. So if we can blame God all we want to, Adam tried it, but it didn't work then. It won't work today. It was that wife you gave me. No, 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 Adam. I gave you the law. I told you don't eat of that tree. And so when it was time to bring individuals to attention, oh, yes, he dealt with the serpent. Oh, yes, he dealt with the woman, but he dealt with Adam in a different way. I gave you the command. Didn't make God a bad father. And friends, we need to keep that in mind as well. Do we believe that Christ loves us? Which should help us to have the mind of Christ. Which should help us to learn more about who he is. Family, are we fully persuaded to teach our children to make Christ their Lord? Our wives, our husbands, our cousins, our neighbors. Jesus must be our Lord, the Lordship of Christ. The life of Christ teaches me how to please God. The lessons from Christ teaches me examples of what to imitate. We can go on and on and on, but friends, Jesus, he taught us how to live for God, and he taught us how to die for the right reason. So, Jesus teaches us that authority matters. He taught with authority. He pleased God and submitted to the authority of his Father. And because of that, God raised him from the dead, sat him on his right side, made him Lord in Christ, made him ruler and king. And now everybody must listen to him. Matthew 7, verse 29. John 8, verse 29. Acts 2, and verse number 30. Friends, our children need to know this. Our families must be taught to listen to Christ. Our families must respect the authority of Christ. If they won't respect the authority of Christ, they won't respect authority at all. Let's learn. Let's learn that evangelism begins at home. It begins with me. Brother Leon, I believe, is going to be teaching us on the third Sunday of this month, Go Ye Mean Goes Me, something of that nature. Something like that. As I close, God's wisdom is shown at the home, or at home. The home gets to see God in real time. If you haven't heard anything I've said, hear this. Our children, first impression of God is seen in the authority in the home. It is so important. One brother made a point this week, and he was talking about how if you used to go to a grocery store and the clerk was to give you too much change, your response shouldn't be, well, I guess they didn't know how to count. I guess I have a little bit more change in my pocket. That should not be the response. Because if our family sees us cheating like that, what else will they see us cheating on? That's an excellent point, brethren. God's wisdom is shown in the home. It's shown in how we care for one another. Peter's mother-in-law was sick in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. And what did he do? He went and sought out Jesus. Jesus, come heal my mother-in-law. Jesus went. Our home ought to be able to see us caring for one another, comforting one another. Comforting one another through service, John 13, through sacrifice, through strengthening, they ought to see that. And it's not always cookies and cream, cake and ice cream. Sometimes you go and you stand in that corner until you get yourself together, and then we can talk later. There is a chastisement, even in comforting. Even in comforting there and strengthening, sometimes there is a reproving and a rebuking. And that attitude is taken to the world. Friends, our families deserve it. There's a caring, there's a comforting, there's a celebration, even in the family. Oh, turn to Romans chapter 12. Everything that we're going to look at from this point forward is in Romans chapter 12. It's so powerful. The more that I thought about this, I'm like, wow, this is so great. There's so many things that we see in the book of Romans, especially chapter 12, as being that living sacrifice. Verse 15, we ought to celebrate one another. When we see our brother or our sister, our mother, our father, our husband or our wife, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Friends, that requires a special person. That requires us paying attention. It requires us truly wanting what is best for our family. And when they come home and they're rejoicing because of something that took place on the outside, we ought to rejoice right along with them. Good job. Keep it up. Especially with children, especially with spouses. It's something about a child coming home. Mom, let me tell you what happened in school. And look what I got here. Mom, I was outside playing and I did this. And good job. Drop down to verse 18. If it's possible. As much as depend on you, live peaceably with all men. Y'all pray for me. Sometimes that's a struggle. And it makes sense that when sin enters the home, and those who are striving to be godly, they want to get that ungodliness out. Why? Because they're trying to reach peace. And Brother Royce, when sin is in the home, there's no peace. And so we're trying to get that out so we can get back to the level of peace. Tranquility. Calmness of heart. Pleasure with God. But sometimes, even family members don't really want to be peaceful. So what do I do? As much as life is in you, you dig deep. You endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You do all that you can to bring about peace. Peace does not mean compromise. Peace means I'm trying to do all that I can to make sure that we get this to a level where we're getting sin and misunderstanding out of the house so we can be in harmony with one another. Peace. And no wonder Jesus is our peace between God and man. To break down that middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. Now, making peace. But look at verse 21. We looked at 15, 18. Now look at verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, we ought to celebrate this. We ought to see this in the home. Okay, well, maybe mom is having a bad day. Dad is having a bad day. Children have had a bad day. We get up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes I get up on the wrong side of the bed and I just want to go back to bed, but I got work to do that day. So now I have to learn how to temper myself, keep myself away from people that day. I can't wait for 8 o'clock to come so I can start heading to bed. 8 o'clock? Boy, you old. Yeah, I like going to bed, or at least going that way. You know that old song, I'm going that way. Anyway, y'all get the point? 8 o'clock, the sun is still out. I don't care. I'm trying to get to the bed. Especially when you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. It's just trying to get, I just want to get through the night and I want to start over in the morning. And so, friends, let's do our part. Let's do our part to make the home as peaceful as possible. Overcoming evil with good. Rejoicing with one another. And so the home gets the wisdom that only comes through the Word of God. I only had 2 points this morning. They were long points, but I want us to be considering as we increase our efforts at evangelism. And next week, we're going to talk more about going out and the materials that we have. We have so many materials. And we've spent a lot of God's resources to buy these materials. Let's not let them collect dust on the walls. Let's use them. As a matter of fact, we want to get to a point where they're leaving the walls and we got to refill them. And then after we refill them, we need to order some more. Because then we know people are being exposed to the Word of God. At least they're being exposed. It is upon them what they do with the exposure of the Word of God. And friends, you can take some of those materials and you can teach your own family at home. I just don't know where to start, Brother Mike. I don't know what material to use. We got things here. Use them. But if you're not going to use them, leave them. But use them. And glorify God. Let's have a word of prayer and then the lesson will be yours. Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So thankful for your love and the families that you blessed us to have, that we may be able to work with one another, encourage each other, and help one another to be righteous, to be holy, to be the people that you have called us to be individually and as a family and as a church. Be with every single household, whether they're single, married, widowed or widower, contemplating marriage, so forth and so on. I ask the Father that we will do all that we can to be the best examples in the home, that when we do go out, whether as a family or as a congregation, that men and women may be able to hear the gospel, understand it, and make a decision on whether or not to obey it or not. Bless those who are striving to do that which is right. Allow us to encourage those who are struggling on doing what is right. And help us to be examples to all the saints because they are right. We love you. We ask that you forgive us for our shortcomings and help us to be the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' holy name, we do humbly pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider being in the family of Christ. You've heard the gospel this morning. We dare not repeat it. But we want you to consider truly believing it. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is. Believing that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. That God raised him from the dead. And sat him on his right hand. Making intercession and mediation. Ruling as King and Lord. Master, ruler. Do you want to submit to that? Do you want to submit to him? He's the one that God left in control. We listen to him. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Oh, and yes, yes, yes. It is necessary. It's necessary because Jesus commanded it. And he received his commandment from the Father. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Those are the words of Jesus. Those are his words. And it was stamped by his blood in the last will and testament. It can't be changed. It won't be changed regardless of what men may think or what men may say. You'll add you to his son's church. You'd be faithful. Many people say that, I trust God. I have faith in God. Here's the question. Can God trust you? Can God have faith in you to do what he says? Maybe a child of God and you haven't been faithful. Let's get that right. Let's do what's right. As we stand and as we sing, Brother Chad, the Savior's invitation.